August 29th, 2023, Town of Moreau Audit and Regular Town Board Meeting.
All right, I'd like to welcome everyone to the regular audit meeting for Moreau Town Board for August 29th, 2023, and ask that the Deputy Clerk call the roll.
Kyle Lehman?
Here.
Alan Van Tassel?
Here.
J.D. Donahue?
Here.
And Todd Kuzniers?
Present. So we do have a quorum, and how are we on signatures for vouchers? You got a couple for discussion, I believe. All right, are they the ones that we have to go over here? Okay. So, we're not for discussion?
No, this is just needs a...
Okay. All right, well, they're being signed. I'll go over. We do have two vouchers for discussion. The first one is a voucher from David Locke, who is the individual from Fort Ann, who was involved in cleaning up the property on it was Redmond Road, where the town board had previously authorized the expenditure of $4,000. And then upon cleaning up the site, we found tires, 16 tires, to be disposed of. And so that increases the cost to $160 over the $4,000 amount. And if you recall, this will be levied on the taxes for the property. The town's not going to pay it. So I would entertain a motion authorizing increasing the award for price of the cleanup from $4,000 to $4,160 for David Locke. So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And the next voucher for discussion is from Orba Fire LLC from Queensbury. They handle or manage our security services for computers. And if the board recalls back in May 23rd specifically, we had authorized a contracted rate to be $244.40 per month. And what has happened is we should have done it on a per-person basis because as you bring additional users on, the additional costs incur. So my recommendation is to rescind the resolution that authorized the supervisor to execute a contract with Orbital Fire in the amount of $244.40. And at the same time, authorizing an expenditure of $4.70 per user for awareness training monthly and $4.70 per user for phishing testing per user. So that way, moving forward, whenever we bring additional users on, we won't have to go through this. So somebody would like to move on.
So
second. Any discussion? On favor, well, under discussion, we have 35 users now. When we originally did the resolution, there were 26. So, sorry. On favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. That's all we had for discussion. that. We do have some transfers that are being signed. We'll do them independently. The first one is a resolution transfer $7,000 from account A1990.4, which is general contingent account, to account A1620.4, which is general buildings contractual. This is what the category or incidental expenses fall under, like providing internet to the satellite office over there for rec. And so on.
We'll take it.
Any discussion?
Mm-hmm.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next one is that they're looking for a motion to transfer $399.31 from account A1330.4, which is general receiver taxes contractual, to account A1410.4. Which is general town clerk contractual of payment of various town clerk expenses.
Okay.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And the third is seeking a resolution to transfer $800 from account A1010.2, which is general town board equipment, to account A1010.4, which is general town board contractual. This is to help with the costs incurred for setting up new email accounts and paid for internet services and email. So, something like that. Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And the final resolution is to transfer $2,500 from account GI 8110.2, which is sewer administration equipment, to account G18110.4, which is sewer administration contractual, for various sewer-related expenses.
So,
second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Anything else?
Fourth.
We all second. All right, so at this time, I'll entertain a motion to pay the bills as audited.
So,
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you for all your help.
Good job.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Todd, for having us.
For those of you who may have not met me yet, my name is Christine Orr. I am the superintendent of schools for the Southwest Hall School District. This is my sixth year. I always have to like look to him to make sure. As superintendent, it's my 12th year in the district. It is also my 12th year as a resident of the Southwest Hall School District. And I'm also a resident of the town of Monroe now. I didn't start there. I started in the town of Woodland. And we moved closer, and now I live in the town of Monroe. So I do follow along as a resident as well here. I'll let Tim introduce himself.
And I am Tim Dawkins. I'm the assistant superintendent for instruction. This is my sixth year in the role, which is why Christine looks at me. We started in these roles at the same time. I was formerly the middle school principal in the district for 4 years. So this is my 10th year in the district. A non-resident, but my, 20th year in education. So
each January, Tim and I present the state of the district at our January Board of Education meeting. And quite honestly, that starts our budget season. And for the most part, in August, usually where does the most part of town business and school business overlap? It's in tax time. So I was really glad this meeting came on the 29th and like not the 31st when we're sending out our taxes. So I really appreciate that for you inviting me to this one. But there are really other places that I think it's always important for the school district to update all of you and whoever comes to the town meetings on that. For the last several years, we've had three themes. And we really tried hard to keep these very consistent, pre-COVID, post-COVID, and life beyond of that. And really to summarize these, it's on every student should feel safe, so safety, physical safety in our buildings, with updates and to make sure that we're doing the best we can in the times that we're in. Mental health struggles, you don't turn the TV on right now and not hear about some of our mental health crisis across the board, but especially with our youngest people for that. And we've been doing this theme pre-COVID. And so really, you know, it's important to us for people to know that because we've put in structures and places and we continue to grow that every year. And then the last one I like to call the idea of future-ready learning. If we keep our buildings and our classrooms and we use taxpayer dollars to do the same old thing from when we were all there in school, we're not providing the opportunities for our students. And so we're really always trying to engage in the most we can with the varieties of opportunities of our changing world. I'm going to turn it over to Tim, and he's going to kind of dig down into a couple of those because we're kind of, while we're not changing our themes, we're kind of enlarging them so that way people can truly understand what we mean by them now that we've put it in practice for so long.
So this actually is something that we're working on now, kind of unveiling, but our idea of well-being for all students and what does that mean. So Christine talked about mental health systems for physical safety, themes that we've been working on since we've been in these roles in the last 5 years. We've grown a lot with how we support students over the last several years, especially both kind of as we move through COVID, following COVID, so we want to make sure that there's an organizational chart so that people can kind of understand all of the different ways that we engage with our resources in order to support students. So you have a really kind of broad range of things in there, both things that are in-house people who are in-house employees, staff in the district, as well as organizations that we contract with outside of the district who come in and support our students. We have our sorted practice and wellness, kind of, which is the overall idea of how we have work through the day with students, how we help students understand how to solve conflict, how we work with the faculty and staff to build relationships with students. Our in-house supports are really those mental health and wellness providers within the district, school psychologists, school counselors, social workers, and then an acronym, because we love acronyms in education, MTSS, which stands for Multi-Tiered Systems of Support. These are our intervention systems. These are the ways that throughout the school district, K through 12, we make sure that all of our students are getting the academic, emotional, and social support that they need. And then we have our trauma-informed care. This is something that I'm really proud of. It's something that we've really dug into over the last 2 years, where we've had nearly 20% of our staff take advantage of a full three-credit graduate course. We funded through federal grant money under the idea of what does it mean to have a trauma-aware and trauma-informed classroom. We're continuing that work in this year. And then underneath that is, how do we create care for students? So we have our relationship with Saratoga Center for the Family, who are outside therapists, insurance-based therapists who come into our school. They work only in our school district, and they provide therapy sessions for our students. We have three of them currently at all levels, and they can take a caseload of 30 students. We've done this because in our area, if anyone's ever tried to access mental health care for themselves, someone in their family, a loved one, you know how difficult it is. We really are in a place where it's very difficult to get into a therapist, and there really isn't a lot available around here. So to support our families who aren't able to travel as much, who aren't able to access those services, we bring the services to the school district. We also have something called Gaggle Therapy. Gaggle is the company. It is virtual therapy. We pay for it entirely by the school district. We've been using the federal American Rescue Plan funds in order to fund that therapy. It's access for staff and students. Typically 8 to 10 sessions, solution focused, happens in the evenings, can happen on the weekends, so it's really available on their schedule. And so there's a lot here. I could spend probably an entire presentation just talking about what these supports are, but there will be definitely more to come on this in the community so that folks know exactly how we're supporting kids. We like graphics. We really love to be able to, I'm a visual person. I like to be able to see things. For the last several years, and actually we started this work just before the pandemic, put a little bit of a pause on it, and then began it again in earnest this past school year. Is our portraits of graduates. So Christine talked about our three themes in the district of safety, mental health, and future-ready learning. This is really an extension of that and really creates an idea of what do we want our students to be when they leave our school and go out into the community and into the broader world. These six attributes were actually created through school and community input, and many of you may have participated in that. We did a number of surveys throughout the school year, both in our district and outside of our district, based on a list of attributes. What are the things that we really believe our students should be able to do? And this is what we ended up coming up with. And we're going to be formally rolling this out next week when we welcome our staff back on Tuesday. And this graphic is going to be all over the place. You're going to see this. This is work that begins in kindergarten and goes all the way through the end of high school. Are these things that you can absolutely teach in only one way? No. These are guiding principles. So when we think about when we're implementing new things in the district, when we're reviewing the things that we currently do, what do they touch on? How do we make sure that these things are happening in our school and our kids are leaving with these skills? So again, more to come on that so on social media, on our website. Plenty of opportunity here about our brochure graduate.
I was a math teacher as a start, so I love numbers, I like math. I always think it's important to share the data. We base everything on Beds Day, which is in October, so that's why you see an October date. You don't see a new date for 2023 yet. We don't collect that data yet. When we showed you the picture of the stuff that we can do for student well-being and how we're able to do that and how we're able to grow that program, we're going to use that word grow, the growth of that program does not coincide with the growth of the number of students in our district. I can tell you, I started here prior to 2014-15, and that bar was slightly higher. We were actually in between 13-14 to about 16-17. Ourselves in Saratoga, Southwest Falls and Saratoga, maybe one or two school districts in the entire state were actually the only ones that were showing any type of growth. And by growth in enrollment, it means being flat. But really, there's not a lot of growth in New York State in general as far as students are happening. And we're starting to feel that. So the red line is the actual enrollment that we had each year. And as of last October, we were at 2,877. In our largest population, we were at 3,200. And so we've really seen that decline in enrollment. So when Tim uses the word, how do we grow the programs, sometimes we have to reallocate the positions that we already have. So are, how are we able to use restorative practices while we're able to reallocate current teachers into new positions to be able to do that work? Because with a declining enrollment, those are all things you think about and our Board of Education thinks about. When you look at the blue number, and while this is not a perfect one-to-one shot, it has been pretty close for us in all of my times here. That is the local birth rate projection. So you take Glens Falls Hospital, not necessarily Saratoga Hospital, we live in Saratoga County. You look at the local birth rate of what of who was born at that time, and you make a projection, and you add it to our kindergarten through 11th grade students for that. But it has been very close for us in the last several years, and the reason why we know that is because we actually have a VPK program, which is our 3- and 4-year-olds come in, and now that will be full-time in the district. Again, first time this year we're able to do that because we were able to reallocate some positions. So we're actually a pre-K to 12th grade school district as of this year for that. But again, this piece of that declining enrollment is always something that the school district watches. And why do I bring it up to all of you? If you want to click to the next slide. I bring it up to all of you because in order for our students to thrive, in order for us to get the most programs we possibly can get for our students, we have to look at growth. Right now, for me, I look at residential growth. Obviously, I'm a member of the town, so I look at all sorts of growth. But as a person that pays attention to things going on in the town, I want to spend just a minute on this slide to talk about some things that have been in place in South Glens Falls for years, many years prior to me. So I mentioned that this is 12 years for me. This has been tweaked at least 2 or 3 times since I've been here. But I would probably go on to say 20 to 25 years this has been in place. And don't quote me on that because I don't know the exact years. But we are very lucky in our district to have 4 elementary schools. We have 3 elementary schools, obviously, right near here, and then we have Ballard. And sometimes I have to be at meetings and correct everyone that, no, Ballard is not part of your district, it's part of ours. Why was Ballard, built there and grown there? And it was really because of our southern piece, that Town of Roland, Town of Northumberland population. When we saw growth for a while, we saw growth because of the building in the Town of Roland. And again, that was probably about 20 years ago now. So when you have 3 elementary schools and you have 1 outlier, you as a district also are thinking about class size, especially the elementary school. Middle school and high school, you can right size it by the number of sections as much as possible in interest, even though it's student-based. But at an elementary level, you want as much as possible for students to have the same experience at Ballard as they do at Harrison, Monroe, or Tanglewood. And so, someone who was much smarter than me a very long time ago introduced what we call buffer zones. And buffer zones are actually throughout our district, and it allows us as a school district to right-size elementary classrooms without too much affecting transportation, without too much affecting bus runs so kids are on it too long, without too much affecting residents. And we've been able to do this along the way, so that way we're able to maintain almost a good average size. I use maps to show you just 2 of the examples. It's at, all of them are actually in board policy. If you are very good at all the streets in the middle of the village, you would probably be much better at this than me because I'm always turning down the wrong street to get places, still after 12 years of being here. But essentially, the one over here, I apologize, I'm going to go here, you'll notice there's a bunch of triangles in it from Bluebird and up. And when this growth came about, and they put in that triangle very close to Bluebird, very in between Moreau, Harrison, and then also Tanglewood, that's actually one of our 3 buffer zone school districts. So when students enroll there, or our parents come in, buy property there, even though Zillow will tell you it's Moreau, or sometimes they tell you that it's not, but even though realtors will come in and say, oh, this is absolutely the Harrison school district, we always recommend to as close to, especially all of our realtors, for them to call us so that way we can really talk through all of these things. That is a 3 school district school zone. And so what that allows us to do is a family of 3 comes in, we're able to look at what grade levels that family's in, and we're able to right size it so that way we're not having too many students in a classroom at Tanglewood and not enough students at a classroom at Harrison, as an example. As I said, we do this all over. The far left one, I want to show a completely different example of Ballard and Moreau. We usually don't push the kids all the way to Monroe right now, but I'm sure there was a time when they were worried about that. That's more in the town of Northumberland, but the zone there, it's about 5.6 miles for those students to go to Ballard. It's about 9 miles to go to Monroe. So even though we try to get them to Ballard, we do have a Ballard-Monroe swing zone. We actually have other swing zones for all four schools. Most of those are on the Route 9 corridor. Because when you're going up and down Route 9, it's pretty quick to get to any school. So this is something that I guess, you know, in my time and after listening and paying attention to things, when we talk about growth, I really wanted to bring to the board's attention, because it's like one of those little known things that everyone doesn't assume. I assume people realize it. I make the wrong assumption when you assume, right? I should have known that all my time being in education. But this is one of those things where I wanted to put, especially in the board's head, as you are all talking about growth, that we've been building in ways to right-size our elementary schools all along. On the next slide, Tim's going to kind of show you, it's his office that kind of goes through the process of right-sizing our elementary schools and what that means, but I'll let him talk about that.
Yeah, so I handle this along with my assistant, Brie Loviza, who is our district registrar. So she's really the first person that has contact with the families. And so the first thing that she does is she knows that she has to have those numbers ready and available for, usually it's Moreau, Templewood, and Harrison that we're looking at, because that's the majority of the buffer zone that we're dealing with, as Christine said. Typically, she'll have a conversation with me of, here are our numbers, and let's look at where the best place is for this family. One of the things that we don't do is if a family, Christine mentioned, a family comes in with three, we're not going to split those kids up and put them in all different schools. So we make sure that we're not separating families in that way. But we do try really hard, and they're definitely having difficult conversations where families come in and they really are under the impression that they're going to go to this building, but we have the conversation of, in order to prevent class sizes of 25, 26, 27 kids, we need to make sure that they're having those rich experiences with smaller class sizes by utilizing those buffer zones. A few other ways that we make sure that this works is, one of the first things that we do when the school year ends and the new school year begins, and we have our incoming kindergarten students, and now our UPK students, is where are they? Are they new students with no siblings in any of the buildings? And can we look at the numbers of the current kindergarten classes and move kids around? And we really try to do that on a voluntary basis. Bree does a really good job of calling families, explaining the situation to them, and giving them the opportunity to attend in another zone. And then those students remain students within that elementary school for the entirety of their time in K through 5 or pre-K through 5. Did I miss anything with the buffer zone?
No, I think that if you just look at the chart on the right, if you are somebody who's been in a different school district and does not have these zones, I've definitely gotten called by many school districts across the state that have been steadfast to their neighborhood schools. You would see schools that have one classroom or two classrooms at 15 as an average class size, and then you may have another school that may be near to us that has classes of 27. And so, you know, there's always this assumption when people see that, or when people see a growth of new neighborhoods in our district, that now that's going to happen to us. And that's why, you know, again, I'm so thankful to the board, because you'll see, yes, is it perfect? It's absolutely not perfect. But, and that's why I use kindergarten. We have one group that's at 17, we have another one at 21 and a half. Usually that right sizes it by the beginning of the year. One's at 18, one's at 20. But 17 and 21 and a half is not the end of the world. It's just our furthest one. And so that's why I want to show you that one, because it's our biggest kind of split. Most of the time they're like fifth grade, where it's, you know, 19 and a half, 21 and a half, 21 and a half, 22. And that's because we've gotten really good at, you know, making sure families are as best as possible in places so that we're able to right size the classroom.
Through my regional network of assistant superintendents and directors of curriculum, who are usually the people that are in charge of this work within their school districts, each year I try to do a survey just to find out what the average class sizes are in other school districts, because it's information that we like to provide to our staff, and then obviously it's available to people if they ask. And we tend to fall on the lower end, and part of that is because we are able to move students around in order to balance those class sizes. Some of the other things that you can see up here, just some of our demographics. Christine talked about the enrollment of 2804 at our Advanced Day in October of last year. Right now, I don't know how accurate that number is and when that was. Was it this morning?
morning.
So you can see that definitely lower than where we even were last year. That will change the beginning of the year. Things tend to shift. All of a sudden, people show up like the day before school starts, and you know are surprised that they haven't registered. And so that number will fluctuate a little bit. We're adding the 108. Those students were a part of us, but now they're spread out. They were all focused half-day programs at Moreau. We now have three classrooms at Moreau, and then a classroom in Tanglewood, Harrison, and Ballard. So we have six full-time UPK or pre-K classrooms in our district. 417 school-age students with disabilities. Our economically disadvantaged population is about 39 and 40%. ELL students, 9. We do have students who come in and out. In fact, we just had 2 students registered today. So that number tends to fluctuate as well. I think we've had as high as 12 or 13 students since I've been here, and we've dropped down as low as 4 or 5 students. And then one of the numbers that we always really keep an eye on is those students who are homeless or living in temporary housing. Again, it's at 57 right now. That sounds like a lot, and it is, but actually it's in this role in the last 5 years, we've had over 100 students who have been considered homeless. Again, a lot of times those families tend to be transient. They move in, they move out when housing becomes available. So 57, not so bad right now, but definitely a population that we want to look at.
And Tim, when I started here 12 years ago, we hit double digits at 10, and I looked at my assistant at the time and said, okay, I guess we now need a spreadsheet for this, because I before 10, I intimately knew every family in the role of assistant superintendent, because there were 9, right? And so you guys talked to them on a regular basis, and then we hit double digits, and then it grew. And so, now that number is good, but when you see about that growth, that's concerning.
And that also goes back to our student support
right.
Chart at the beginning, when you talk about why are we adding more social workers, why are we adding school counselors in all 4 of our elementary buildings, those numbers are the things that the reason why we are constantly adding support services into our district.
So, that's why the numbers, and I always like to make sure I share that, but, there's really good things going on. As all of our district spans 3 towns, Town of Moreau, Town of Willen, Town of Northumberland, so we're looking at all those things in all 3 towns all the time. Because really, we want to be able to give the most we can to our students. And this project is called Envision 2025, which we are always grateful that our community members come out and approve this at the time. It still has, but when we went out to vote, it had no additional tax impact. I always like to make sure I use that word additional, because obviously we rely on school taxes, but really it's how we become fiscally responsible and how we use those taxes as part of our savings to do that. So in this one, we just finished about a $58 million project, and then we got this one approved kind of with some of the other stuff. The focus of this one was kind of right-sizing all the buildings in some areas we missed as far as safety goes, athletics, the arts, and the middle school. So for me, I'll talk about phase one. Phase one is happening right now. It's happening right now at Tanglewood. We are creating an 8-lane track. With a field in the middle, that'll be regulation field for all things but football. And then we are creating a new baseball field with a new entrance that came through for that. So we hope to have a semi-soft unveiling in October. We will not be actually using those fields until next fall. You never want to build something and then ruin it because you've done things too soon because you're excited about it. So those actually will start taking place next fall. We will have some soft openings for community to see that. Those are 50% done. The last 50 is more exciting than the first 50 when you do anything for growth, so we'll be able to show that.
So this is what I am really excited about as a former middle school principal and working in a building that was built in 1938 and going through the last capital project. And really, the windows, brand new windows in that building. So so this time around, the middle school is getting quite a bit of attention. It's really the whole original part of the building is getting looked at and revamped. So this is phase 2, which starts next summer and goes through the fall 2026. And down here is the first floor, this is the second floor, and so our main office suite is being reconfigured. We're bringing our school nurses and our school counselors and our school psychologists all together The big kind of set piece for all of this is our LGI. If you've been in the LGI recently, it's kind of an unused space at this point. It's just big, it's got a stage, so when we have performances, that's when it's used, but as an instructional space, it's really just not very useful. So we have worked with the architects to design a much more functional space. We're lowering the stage. We have retractable seating, which I think is really neat. It actually pushes back into the wall, so that room can still be a multi-purpose room, but it also will function as an auditorium. Soundproofing, that whole room is really getting revamped, and that is really exciting, as well as the entrance to the middle school. If you come in the main entrance, you know, you kind of walk in right into a small, tight space and a wall. So we're opening that up and brightening up a little bit as well to just make that more welcoming. We're also working on revamping music classrooms, science classrooms, home and careers, family and consumer science. And so there is a lot happening at the middle school.
Phase three, and again, there's different things going on, but in order for us to be able to put in field turf and to really expand the area of where we are as a high school, that's why we really had to move the track out. Once you put a track in there, it kind of limits how many fields that you can have. So track out, baseball in, stadium in, and that's what's in the dark green. And it's, a drawing which has been modified slightly. To the right, not dramatically, but now that is closer to the building. We did that so that way we didn't have to worry about Tanglewood parking anymore, and then our families in need. Now the handicap parking is close by to the stadium. All those things that we were able to do to kind of support some of the changes that were also going on in the village for these things, and then we'll be just cleaning up the other. So the one on the right is really that piece. Again, that starts next summer. It will be going through the fall, but in the same sense, we may be able to use it next spring. So more, at least that stadium piece, so more to come on that. This I always like to take because as a board, I am hired by the board, but the board, really their biggest oversight is that fiscal responsibility, and they charge me with that. And so, just so that way everyone is clear, when I always talk, especially in any town, these are really our fundamentals. We realize that we have to rely a third on what we get from the state. It used to be more from the state, it's not, well, no longer. And then, our taxpayer dollars. And I think that, first and foremost, we always want to make sure we're preserving those quality programs and growing them whenever possible, making sure they're sustainable for our students through some of our innovative practices. I took this from my state of the district, the idea of no ESSER cliff, for those of you who've been paying attention. Luckily, the federal government had been giving school districts across the country ESSER funds, and mismanagement of those would then cause some dire things. Cuts in the services like mental health, cuts in some of the other capacities, some cuts in what class averages. We were able to not use most of our money for things like that, even though it was a struggle for people to understand, because we didn't want that ESSER cliff happening. And obviously being mindful of the tax impact dollars, and again, why here? To support economic growth in our three towns included in South Glens Falls, and having the capacity to do that through our practices there. So I just want to thank the board for letting me here. I said I'd talk for 10 minutes, but if you know me, you know I'm a liar. I could talk about this all night. And luckily, I'll blame Tim tonight, let him come over. But we are, we're really proud of our district. As a community member, I'm always excited to share the great things that are happening. This is really where we are. We want to have a vision for our student staff and fiscal wellness to keep our district moving forward. So
thank you very much for having us. We appreciate the thumbnail sketch on all the great changes that are underway with the school district, as well as where we are with class populations. One of the things that stood out to me when you look at 10 years ago, school district student population. By quick calculation, it looks like we're 14% lower than where we were 10 years ago. Is that accurate?
It's pretty accurate. And again, in how that works, when you think about it across the board, it's about one class size per grade level. Obviously, the middle school and high school, it's felt a little differently, and they'll start feeling it in the next 3 or 4 years. But at the elementary level, We used to have 6, 10, at our highest, 12 or 13 sections per grade level, and we are down to 10 to 11 in each one, 10 to 12.
You know, I appreciate the presentation, and I think the timing was perfect. You know, we recently had some housing developments be proposed for Southlands Falls and Moreau here, and you know, with some mixed responses from some folks, and I feel like this presentation is perfect to show that we can encourage that housing and bring in more families. So thanks for that.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Superintendent Orr and Deputy Superintendent Dog. We appreciate your time this evening. Agenda item, do you have any equipment you need to take with you, or is that
got it.
You got
the rest of yours.
Okay, all right. You're welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting. I'm sure you probably have other responsibilities.
Listen, and if we say that our meeting too, Todd, I just wait for that word. I'm never going to go on without it. So have a great night.
Thanks again. So agenda item four this evening is Water and Sewer Department. And we have a couple of items to address there. The first one is a request of change order for county force main connections from our engineer. It's at no cost to the town. This request for a change order is the result of the contractor utilizing American Iron and Steel provisions that were in the contract because they're unable to find the necessary materials during the contract. So in order for us to be compliant with the EFC funding allocations, they have to be removed, and the contractor is going to do that. And but in order for them to work on that and replace with a proper fix that's acceptable, the EFC requires town board resolution authorizing the supervisor to sign change order number 3 for County Force Main Connection Contract 2.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item is also in relation to sewer. We have the engineer for the town, Don Rose, with the LaBerge Group. We have talked about this in the past, and we did it with water. He's recommending that in order to continue with our commitment to decreasing costs for a majority of our users with sewer, that we entertain a consolidation of the sewer districts. And he points out this will reduce treatment costs, provide for redundancy with treatment options, and it'll also allow users with failing septic systems to connect to a public sewer system. So he has provided a proposal to the town in the amount of $25,000, which outlines his scope of services, which will require preparation of a MAP plan report and a presentation of the MAP plan report for the Consolidated Water District at a public hearing and or informational meeting. And they'll also coordinate with the town special district legal counsel regarding the MAP plan and report. So the lump sum fee is $25,000, excluding typical reimbursable expenses for travel and reproduction, and they estimate that the MAP plan report can be completed in 4 to 6 weeks upon town board authorization. So my recommendation would be to move forward with preparation of the MAP plan report.
Is he going to motion for that?
I will need a motion authorizing supervisor to sign the proposal for sewer district consolidation study.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
You mentioned it, but I just want to make sure it was clear. We had already thought about this and did work on it. We did a preparation and did a version of this back in 2021, I think. But when we asked a little bit more of it instead, when we saw the opportunity to go south and offer all of our residents potentially a better cost, it made sense to hold at that point in time. So I'm glad to see we're back on track moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, with the change in the components of the infrastructure now being the county connection, we want to make sure that the public has access to the most updated information as a result of that change. So any other discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Agenda item 5 is health insurance. Just want to brief the board and the public as well that my office met with Marshall and Sterling regarding the town's upcoming renewal for health insurance for our employees and retirees. Just as a point of reference, the town's main health insurance plan is City PHP, set to renew for a period of December 1st, 2023 through November 30th of 2024, and the town's Medicare Advantage plan with Humana is set to renew for a period of January 1st, 2024 through December 31st, 2024. The Humana Medicare Advantage plan will see a premium increase of 6.6%. The 2023 premium rate was $119.31 per month for eligible retirees, while the 2024 premium rate was quoted at $127.21 per month. Marshall and Sterling recommends renewing the Humana plan for 2024 as the Medicare Advantage plan represents a great value for the town of Roe. And we do have, I believe the clerk has a resolution to act on tonight just in relation to the retirees. With the active employees, because there's a union involved, we're going to have additional conversations as we move through the process. But for tonight, my recommendation would be to go with the recommendation of Marshall Sterling and move forward with the Humana Medicare Advantage plan for our retirees. And do you have that resolution?
Yes, I'm ready.
Would you please read that?
Sure. Whereas the town of Moreau offers a supplemental Medicare plan from Humana for retired employees who are eligible for and enroll in Medicare, and whereas the individual rate for the Humana Medicare plan was increased from $119.31 per month in 2023 to $127.21 per month in 2024, representing a 6.6% increase, and whereas Marshall and Sterling is the town of Moreau's health benefits administrator, has recommended the Humana Medicare Advantage plan for eligible retirees. So, therefore, be it resolved that the town board accept the following Medicare Advantage plan for eligible retirees for the period of January 1st, 2024 through December 31st, 2024. Humana passed the PPO with custom RX. And so be it further resolved that the town of Moreau authorize Marshall and Sterling to contact Humana to administer this plan on the town's behalf.
Thank you very much. Someone like to move that for discussion?
So.
Second.
And discussion.
Nobody likes to see an increase, but I know from being on the board for a while, we had the battle with increases much larger than that. So, you know, $8 is real money to hand it up. But I'm glad to see it's not significantly more like we've seen in the past.
So with that, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, and just as another point of reference, I mentioned the increase, and more discussions are needed on the health insurance plan, CDPH plan that we have for our current employees, as well as union employees. That plan will see a much larger increase of 13.44%, according to the documents we received from Marshall and Sterling. And in addition, the annual deductible amounts will increase from $2,200, $4,400, and $2,023 to $2,500, $5,000, 2024. So, and we're required by contract to have conversations with the union on this. So we've got to get through that and then come back to the board and determine what direction we want to go.
Sure.
So we got all set on health insurance. Agenda item 6 is the highway department. We have a request from the highway superintendent for drywall grates and ring 7 sets. Three vendors were contacted. The first one is J.R. Cole & Sons from Middlesboro, Kentucky. Will be a total cost of $3,750.68. Second vendor is EJ Company in Phoenix, New York. Total cost $2,715.06. And the third vendor is NEI, Nenow, Wisconsin, for a total of $6,433.54. The highway superintendent is recommending that we go with EJ Company for the amount of $2,715.06. It will be drawn from account DB 5110.450, which has a balance of $2,823 as of July 31st, and we had a budget of $4,000 for this purchase.
So,
second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item, also on highway, I just want to provide a brief update, and I know the highway superintendent will have additional information. At our last board meeting, we had concerned residents regarding the development, I think it's called Military Overlook?
Something like that.
With Speakman and Birch Road and others in that development. And two issues were brought to the board's attention. The first one was the current closure of Speakman Road, and we committed to having engineers look at it and come up with some recommendations. In the meantime, if it was safe, the highway superintendent will look into the possibility of making it a one-lane road through there. The second issue that was brought to the attention of the board was excessive speeding in the development. I did reach out to the sheriff the next day. They increased, stepped up road patrols in there, but also to assist in one of the major complaints regarding the location of the speeding. In consultation with the town engineer, highway superintendent, Saratoga County DPW, there was an agreement to change the entryway, if you will, coming on to Fort Edward Road. I know that the county DPW spent all today down there. I don't know if they finished limbing up all the trees on the side. They're very responsive. When I called them, I want to thank them for coming to town Monroe ASAP. And do you want to share additional updates as to what's happening down there?
That issue, the intersection of Laurel, Birch Drive and Fort Edward Road, instead of having a Y intersection, we are rearranging it so that it will be more or less a T intersection to stop. The complaint is traffic going east on Fort Edward Road is just shooting across at high speed, and we're taking that issue off the table. As the supervisor said, Saratoga County DPW has been very helpful. They'll be back tomorrow. They've opened up the sight distance considerably, and we're working on that. We have more trees coming down this week. Over on Speakman Street, we do have it set up. We should have it set up as a one-way street no later than close of business Thursday. Any further deterioration, we'll have to look at it again.
Yeah, one of the reasons for the entry and exit redesign is that when we had our engineer walk the road that is essentially shearing off its present location because of the ravine there, he said, you know, he had an estimate 10 years ago $2 million to do test borings and a repair with no guarantee to fix it. They're probably looking at $5 million to do the same work now. So, you know, obviously the town doesn't want to throw money at a project that doesn't fix it permanently. We believe the engineer's recommendation by at least allowing the one-way coming in to Speakman on Fort Edward Road will open up that end of the development to traffic, and then with the redesign of the intersection there, making it safer, greater line of sight, wider so school buses and tractor trailers if needed to make the turn, makes it much safer and has the added benefit of slowing traffic as it enters into the development. So that's why we decided to go that route. So I just wanted to update the public on that.
Correct.
Anything else on that? On your end?
No, I've covered it.
Okay.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you both.
Agenda item 7 is transfer station. And we, as you know, Chris manages, is acting manager of the transfer station, and he's looking for us to get the brush ground down there. And we had budgeted, I think, $5,500 for that purpose. And as everyone knows, there's been increased cost of fuel and things like that. So the new cost, I believe, is $7,500 now.
Approximately, yeah.
So in order to get that brush taken care of, we need to increase the amount in account 8160.4. So before we go into a discussion on the proposal we have for grinding a brush. I'd be looking for a resolution to transfer $2,000 from account A1990.4, which is general contingent account, to account A160.4, which is general refuse garbage contractual. And it's for the purpose of brush grinding.
Oh.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. So now, with the money available, we do have one proposal. I'm sorry. You reached out to three, but only one got back.
Yes. Well, we got two, but we had already done the paperwork, and the second bid was absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, okay. So we reached out to Advanced Tree Service, which provided a cost of $7,500. They're located in Delmar, New York. We also reached out to Galusha, and they no longer offer grinding. And we also reached out to WM Beers out of Albany, and they did not respond.
Correct. We did get a quote from Richard Sears. That quote was for $32,500.
$32,000?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, so that makes it a little easier decision tonight. So your recommendation is that the town board go with Advantage Tree Service for a price of not to exceed $7,500.
Correct. And we've used them the last 2 or 3 years. It come in the lowest bid each year.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? Motion carries. While we're on a transfer station, I did receive a complaint from a resident of the town of Monroe regarding the facing of posted instructions within the compactor area with a political sticker. We went down, I removed it. We're currently looking at surveillance video down there for who placed it. And I know that Chris has spoken to employees as well as I have, that there can be none of that down on the contact area or anywhere down there. Agenda item 8 is assessor's office. And just wanted to give a shout out to our assessor who has been working in the assessor field for 14 years now. And she just obtained her IAO designation, which is the Institute of Assessing Officers. Takes a long time and experience to be able to secure that, so she should be commended for bringing that level of expertise to the town of Moreau. She does have a request for permission to attend the 2023 Assessors Fall Conference, which will be held in Saratoga Springs for assessment training for October 3rd to the 6th, 2023. She indicates the 12 hours of required continuing education hours will be earned, and funds for conference have been budgeted for and will be pulled from the education budget line A1355.4 with a remaining balance of $11,994.68. So I'd entertain a motion to authorize our assessor, Leah Cronin, to attend for an amount of $1,255.65.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
I just want Leah to know that I appreciate that she uses this to
fill out her expenses. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. Agenda item 9, Recreation Department. A couple items. The first one is the Pop Warner football contract for the period of August 15, 2023 to November 1st of 2023. I think right now they have been using the field on a daily basis without contract, paying what we charge. We haven't ever had a contract with Pop Warner, and so this brings them in line with the other organizations that do that. So thank you for making that happen, Jeremy. So I will be looking for authority from the board by resolution to sign the agreement with Southland Falls Pop Warner for the period of August.
Is this
our
agenda?
Yes.
All right. So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Not all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And the second request from our recreation director is for shirts for flag football. And he has reached out to three vendors. Arca Inc. declined to provide a price. Northland Graphics offered $1,120, and Northeast Promotion cannot handle the order. So the recommendation of the rec director is to go with Northland Graphics, in the case that we've used them in the past, and they're the only local company that can handle the order in the time frame necessary. And this will be paid from account A7310.4, which has a current balance of $11,708.88.
So,
second.
Any discussion? Not all in favor?
Aye.
No. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Chairman.
I also, on the Recreation Department, want to make the board, as well as the public, aware that the Saratoga County Board of Supervisors, at our last meeting on August 15th, approved the Town of Moreau's trail grant in the amount of $10,000. And this now will total over $40,000 that we have secured since I've been a supervisor. So, very good news for the town in a row.
Excellent.
Did you have anything else, Jeff? It's all under agenda item 9, agenda item 10, zoning administrator contract. As you know, we contract with our zoning administrator, who's not a town employee, to 15th year in a row he will not increase his fees, which is good news. The bad news is he will be retiring on May 10th of 2024. So we do need to secure a contract with him. His hourly rate will remain at $110. Again, no change since 2016. He works approximately 10 to 12 hours per week. And I will need authority to sign the contract for the zoning administrative services.
Motion to approve.
Second.
And under discussion, I know council's already looked at the contract.
Yes.
What was his date of retirement?
May 10th.
May 10th. May 10th.
May 10th. Thank you. So, with that, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Then item 11, the supervisor's items. And the first item I have is in relation to the appointment of Bradley Nelson, whom we appointed to an unexpired term at our last board meeting to begin on October 1st. However, I think there may be a challenge to have a quorum moving forward, and the planning board chair as well as the zoning administrator are asking if we can move the appointment date up 1 month. So it'll be a town board's decision, but if we do it, we'll have to rescind his appointment that indicated he would start October 1 through December 31st, 2025, with a new resolution to have the start date September 1st through 2023 through December 31st, 2025. So the board
yeah.
Time to do that.
Yeah.
And you want to offer that motion?
The whole period?
Yeah.
So.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item I have, the county clerk has asked that the towns, if interested, post information regarding the fact that they're holding a passport night from 4 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, September 20th by appointment. Anyone that needs action in that area, we have the information already on the website. You can get more information there. You can reach out to county clerk. Current passport fees for passport book are $130 for adult applications and $100 for children under the age of 16. Passport card is $30 for adults and $15 for children under the age of 16. Processing fee is $35 for each application, and passport photos are $10. And if you're looking for expedited service, it's an additional $60 per applicant. And again, all this information is located on the town website as well as the county clerk's website. Also, at the August 15th Board of Supervisors meeting, the Board of Supervisors unanimously approved an apprenticeship program. In relation to any county construction projects that have a value of $3 million or more, that now be required to have apprenticeship requirements, which are going to be based on the New York State Department of Labor Law, Article 23. And the reason that the county moved forward with this is an effort to support the county's workforce development efforts and encourage more people to enroll in the building trades. With supervised training and education, so they can develop skill, craftsmanship, and help meet the increasing needs for such workers, while also providing an opportunity to develop marketable skills, which thereby foster the local and regional economy. Most counties have a threshold of 250,000. The county's thinking on this was that we also want to protect our small businesses, so we increased the threshold to $3 million. And the resolution was unanimously passed, as I indicated, with no discussion, so there was a lot of support for that. I received notification of the resignation of the town historian, which I have accepted as a result of the fact that she has taken on a new employment opportunity. So I do want to thank her for all her efforts. She's probably the most prolific historian, local historian, to occupy that position when it came to getting information out and organizing all that we have to offer in the areas of history. And that is effective August 1st. So thank you for all your efforts for this.
Thank you.
The town, or actually the county municipal shelter inspection report, which was completed August 1st by Department of Agriculture and Markets, was rated satisfactory, which is good. That means that we had no discrepancies. They looked at 19 different items, which included veterinary care, was provided as necessary. Retention period is observed before adoption or euthanasia or transfer, as well as proper impoundment fees are paid before the dogs are released. The mortgage tax report for July 1st to July 31st for Moreau is $35,991. It's dramatically lower than last year for the same period, over $77,866. So again, indicating that there's a contraction in the housing market and the increased rates for borrowing money. And let's see. And the last item I have on the supervisor items, the town just received $55,556.59 from the landfill profit sharing program. And this means that since I've been supervisor, the town has received $218,410. Some of that is based on population, some of it's based on assessed value. And each town gets a minimum of 20,000 regardless of size of their town population. So it's a great program, county benefits, the locality benefit, and very pleased that we're able to bring that money to our community. That's all I have for supervisor items. I do not need an executive session. Anybody need an executive session?
No.
Any other business?
I just have one announcement I want to make.
Sure.
I got an email today. Chris will talk about it later again, but the school district wanted to let me know that the Mike Nolan 5K race that they do every fall will take place on November 5th. In past years, they've requested road closures over by the high school, but they indicated that no road closures this year, but they will be running on the road. They just want to make the town aware. So if they're requesting any road closures, I'll let you know.
What's the date?
Sunday, November 5th. And the world's over by the South Plains Falls High School.
Okay.
Thanks. That's all I got.
We all, as board, have quite a bit of information from Jeffrey on the employee handbook, so hopefully we all can get our eyes on that and be ready to hopefully take action. The handbook's from 1996, so we're ready to make changes. Hopefully.
So as I know I've requested that on multiple occasions for any feedback. Hopefully that's gone into Jeffrey.
Did he he provided this week a good summary of stuff that he provided.
Any other business? If not, agenda item 14 is privilege of the floor. Do you have a sign up list for anybody who wants to speak? Any member of the public wish to be heard? If you do, please state your name and address for record and have 2 minutes to address the board. All right, we will move on to agenda item 15. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, folks.